President Bush had a rosy relationship with Congress for the first 6 years of his presidency. There was a simple reason for that. The Republican Party controlled the House and, for most of that time, the Senate as well. During those years, the president exercised his veto power just once. Things turned more confrontational when Democrats took over Congress last January. Since then, the president has used four vetoes and threatened dozens more. This past week, Republicans joined Democrats and overrode one of those vetoes. NPR's congressional correspondent David Wellner is on Capitol Hill. He's going to talk to us about the growing battle between the White House and Congress. David, this week we saw something completely different. Congressional Republicans turned on their own president. It was on the bill that authorized $23 billion worth of water projects. Explain, why did so many of them vote to override the president's veto?
Well, Leanne, I'd say parochial rather than political interest prevailed this time. After all, this bill gives the green light for hundreds of projects all across the country, just the kind of bacon that almost every member of Congress loves to bring home, including Republicans. So I think this lame duck president vetoed the bill in his own drive to be remembered as a fiscal conservative, but his fellow Republicans overrode that veto, thinking more about next year's elections.
So now that this veto override taboo for Republicans has been broken, how likely do you think is it that more presidential vetoes will be overturned?
Well, the big question is how much GOP lawmakers will back up the president on the vetoes that he's promised for 10 of the 12 annual spending bills. The argument the president makes against those bills is that collectively they bust his budget by about $22 billion. Democrats play down that amount, saying it's only about 2% of the spending that Congress has a say over. Here's the Senate's number two Democrat, Dick Durbin.
And a president who's arguing that we can't afford $20 or $25 billion for America has asked us for $196 billion for Iraq. $196 billion for Iraq, but we can't afford $20 billion for America? I don't follow it.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin. David Wellner, that sounds awfully like a guns or butter argument, with the president willing to allow deficit spending on the war and the Democrats willing to go in the hole to fund programs at home.
That's right. Democrats would like the debate to be about a war that's been very costly politically for Republicans. But in fact, Republicans, with the help of General David Petraeus, who came here in September and defended the troop surge in Iraq quite effectively, have actually managed to all but shut down the war debate. In fact, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told me the other day that Democrats are basically betting on the wrong horse if they think Iraq is going to be the big election year issue.
I think they're setting themselves up to be the issue in next year's election. I mean, their hope is next year's election is going to be about George Bush and the war. Two things wrong with that strategy. Number one, Bush is leaving. Number two, the war is winding down. Next year's election is going to be about this Congress and what it failed to do when it had an opportunity to.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. David Wellner, this focus on spending by the Republicans, isn't this a risky strategy for them?
Well, it likely pleases their base of small government conservatives, but a lot of these federal programs that Democrats want more money for are really quite popular. I think the battle this fall over the expansion of low-income children's health insurance, SCHIP, and the president's veto of it will likely be used against a lot of Republicans who backed up his veto in the campaigns next year. And if they lose those elections, Democrats could end up with even bigger majorities in Congress. So it's definitely a high-stakes strategy they're pursuing.
NPR's congressional correspondent David Wellner. David, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Leanne.